Good morning, folks. It's great to be together again. And I count it a real privilege to be given this particular passage, this 1.5 verses that I've been given to speak on this morning. And I found it a real challenge to look into this. And I've been quite excited with the journey so far. And I hope you'll be a little bit excited as well. But I don't want to get too excited because you're Cornish, aren't you? And we're British, but we'll see how we go. What I'd like us to do to start off with, we'll just read through the passage that we've been looking at for the last two Sundays, Easter Sunday, and then Andrew did a great job of moving to the second step, and then we've got the third step today. So I'd just like to, we'll read it first of all, and then we'll just recoup, just go over again the context that we're going to be looking, hoping to share together what Jesus is saying to disciples. So follow along with, that's the ESV translation. If you've got your own Bibles, I would strongly encourage to read your own Bible. And even a phone is okay. There's something about actually reading the text rather than on the screen, because it helps me to concentrate a little bit more. Anyway, let's go for it. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus. And that's an Englishism. That's a Britishism. They were glad. They were, woo-hoo! They were, I think the world is overwhelmed. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we'll stop there. Highlights the setting that we're looking at here. What does it say here? On the evening of that day. What was that day? That was the day that we call Easter Sunday. That was the day that Jesus showed himself to those ladies and then his disciples and went for a little walk and on the way to Emmaus, and he showed himself to his disciples that day. This was day 3 of day 1. And day 1 was, can you imagine what it would be like to one of those disciples that had been living with Jesus for 3 years, walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, listening to Jesus, overwhelmed with Jesus, and hope, this is the Messiah. Look at the incredible signs that he's doing, the wonders. Has there anybody ever, in all time, even the prophets that we know about in the Old Testament, done anything and be like a Jesus? And they're flying high. There's been a few bumps along the way over the last 3 years. And to go through the hell of that evening, well, that dinner with Jesus, when they broke bread, and Jesus is sort of, whoa, one of you's going to betray me, and the setting of this, what we call the Last Supper, was one of, what is he on about? And then they go off to the garden again, and Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus goes off and prays, and comes back in real agony. Oh, couldn't you wait? Couldn't you pray? Couldn't you stay awake just for a little while? My soul is in agony. And they're witnesses to this, and it goes off, and he prays again, and they go to sleep again, and he comes back, and they're overwhelmed with tiredness, but their tiredness was mingled with, mixed, overtaken with, what, I was going to say on earth, but what in heaven, what in all creation is going on here in relation to our Jesus? And then the guards come and they come with swords and they arrest him in the name of the high priest. And John goes a little bit wild. He says, "Oh, I'm not standing for this." And he cuts off an ear and says, "Oh, stop it, stop it, stop it." Jesus pops it back on again. And that's more like our Jesus. And they take him away in chains. And then there's that night. And then there's the crucifixion. And they have to watch all their hopes and all their expectations and everything that they were convinced in their hearts was true. That dark, dark, dark night of not just the soul, but of absolutely everything. Can you imagine what it was like? And so the next day, that will be our Sunday, they've heard there's been some sightings, and a couple of them have seen something, but they're overwhelmed by what has happened over the last few days, quite understandably. And they're in that upper room, and the doors are locked because it's just a matter of time. They're going to clean the slate. They're going to clean up after this Jesus. We're the next ones that are going to be got. Last week, Andrew, the first thing that Jesus, he explained this is, yes, yes, yes. The first thing that he said to them was, "My peace I give to you." Whew. He didn't stop there. And so what we come to is this passage that we're going to look at today. And I'd just like to read it to you again, if I may. And forgive me, but this is a literal translation of the passage we're going to be looking at today. Verse 21, "As the Father has sent me," says Jesus to his disciples, "I also send you." And saying this, he breathed in and says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And there's three things that I would like us to share with today. And the first one is, it's just the first part of this. As the Father has sent me. So he's saying to his disciples, as my Father, my Heavenly Father, God in heaven has sent me. What was this about? What's behind this? What qualifications did Jesus have to be sent by the Father? So I've just written down a few here. I'd just like to share with you. What qualifications did Jesus have that the Father would send him? He's the Father's dearest son. It's his only begotten son, John tells us. Jesus is his only begotten son. If you're a mother, I dare say if you're a father, you know, what if you've just got the one son? What if you haven't got one yet, but you're longing for it, to have, you know, have your first child? If you are a firstborn in your family, you're special because it was just a special event for your mum and dad. You're the first one. And the second, I'm a second. Whee! Fortunately, I came along, and this is a silly aside, but fortunately, my mum and dad had learned quite a lot from the first one. So when I came along, it wasn't quite so tough. It was still pretty tough. But get the specialness. As Jesus is super extra special because he's his only son. And John tells us that he's the Word. He's the message. He is the Word. And it was through the Word, through Jesus, that the whole of the world was created. God said, "Go for it, Jeez." What John tells us. John 1 verse 2, it was through the Word that everything came in. This guy Jesus, in terms of the Father's heart, part of it is pretty darn special. super special. You can't get more special. And the Father has sent this special part of him, actually a part of God himself, as much God as the Father is God. And he laid all that aside and took on, as we know, he took on what it was to be human. So here's this wild thought. The wild thought is that Jesus, in his humanity and the way he lived on the earth, is exactly like you and me. Went through absolutely everything that we experience and feel. Our emotions, our thoughts, our ideas, our hopes, and all the rest of it. Exactly like us. And he chose not, are you with me here? He chose not to pull rank. If you understand what I mean by that. I still want to get it theologically correct here. But in every way he was like us. So what must it have been for the Father, for Jesus, to be sent? Jesus was at the apple of the Father's eye. He's the apple of the Father's eye. And it was actually a part of himself. So where's this going? As the Father has sent me, and he's pretty special, I also send you. Let's go wild. What would wild look like? Can I ask you a question? I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a Christian? You don't have to shout out loud at the moment. Let's make it sort of rhetorical. You don't have to answer. Are you a Christian? Have you chosen to follow Jesus? Now, if you haven't yet, then I tell you, you're missing out a great deal because it's absolutely amazing following this Jesus. And I recommend that you pin back your lug holes and listen more because there's more good stuff to come. And if you're a little tot like my daughter, Hannah, or something like that, she's a little tot, but she's... Never mind. Sorry, Hannah. But you're still on the way. God's got so much for you, kids. God's got so much for you. Have you answered the question in your head? Are you a follower of Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you a Christian? Yes or no? Don't have to nod. Okay, this is the real question I want to ask you. On the basis of your first statement that you have said yes to in your heart, in your head, are you a disciple? Now, I want to hear from you about this. Are you a disciple of Jesus? I heard a faint yes. If you can make the case, if you're not quite sure, don't say. But if you think that you're possibly a disciple of Jesus, say yes. 1, 2, 3. Yes. Oh, we've got disciples here. Woohoo! Where am I going? This is the second thing I want to say. Jesus addresses, I also send you. He addresses his disciples. And I thought about this. I thought about this and I thought, Jesus is addressing the 10, because there were 10 men in the room that night, because, let's see, we know later that there was one guy that was missing. He was probably having his tea or something, I don't know what. But Thomas was not there, and obviously Judas wasn't there. So there were 10 of them. And the first thought is, he's saying to his 10 disciples, I wonder if the ladies were there as well, we don't know. I'm sending you, just as my Father has sent me, just as the Father has sent me, his dearly beloved, close to his heart. Do you know our Heavenly Father? Our Heavenly Father does apples. I'm not sure what brand they are. They could be, well, all sorts of apples. Braeburn, I quite like. I don't know what. But he does apples. Because he has got so many apples in his eye. And I'm gazing out upon the apples of his eye. That's an old-fashioned phrase meaning really, really, really special in the heart of a person. And he loves us so much individually as his disciples, exactly the same way as which he, that's what he says, as the Father has sent me, sending his best, I also send you my disciples, because you're my best. You are loved. We are loved just as much as the Father loved Jesus. Now, does that sound cranky? Does that sound weird? But that's what he's actually. As I was sent by him, in exactly the same way, to achieve exactly the same sort of thing, you're as important to me, each one of you my disciples, as my son Jesus is. Now, if that's true, I just feel just a little bit special. You don't have to see that. But you should feel pretty young. You are amazingly special. It's got nothing to do with Hong Kong or anywhere else where you were born. It's the fact you've been born again and you're now his disciple. I'm not going to pick on everybody here, but I don't want to. Shane, you're special. You're special. Each one of us, if we're his disciple, then he makes us special. We are special. We're in his heart. We're a treasure to him. And he only sends the best. Now, I was looking and I said, no, this can't be right. This can't be right. But it's what it says. He's addressing this to us. And he's saying, I'm sending you. Where's he sending you? Where's he sending us? Wait a minute. I'm just, exceptions are coming into my brain already. Where's he sending us? Let's take an example. Let's take an example of sending. Does God send people? Yes, he does. Andrew, put that down. Come over here. Let's use you as an example. Let me introduce my friend Andrew. He's all right, really. A bit taller than me. Is it true God sent you to Cornwall?
Yes.
Is it true that God spoke to you, and maybe your wife as well? She's not here she's not around at the moment. And at some time in the past, you had a sense that, I'm guessing here, you had a sense that God was saying, I mean, you lived up country in a more posh area than Cornwall, certainly. And Cornwall, wow, that's the end of the world, isn't it? It's right down on that peninsula. Is there a time come when you just knew God's saying, go to Cornwall, maybe even said Truro, and I want you to be instrumental in seeing a new church come to fruition there? Is that true?
That's all true.
It's all true. It's all true. God spoke to you, and you had a sense of being sent by God.
Yes.
And that probably happened over a period of time, did it? My guess, this guy used to come for his holidays down in Cornwall, didn't you? When you were little. This is just speculation, really, but during those days, did God sort of plant something and seed something inside of you?
Yeah, I believe he did.
He did, yeah. But then it became enough. Was there a particular time when he said, go!
There was a moment, yes.
The result was conviction, a sense of being sent. Thank you very much.
You.
Can I send you back to your seat? Thank you. Now, the reason I'm making a big thing about my friend Andrew, and hopefully embarrassing him totally, no, not really, is that I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands, but how many of you feel that, some of you do, that sense of God's sending me somewhere. God's sending me somewhere. I don't want you to respond to that, but just have a little think. Do you have that sense of being sent? My guess is, hold on a moment, my guess is that that's possibly not the case for you. Maybe, but possibly not the case for you. And in that case, we heard what Andrew said, and what we think is this. We think, God sent him. He's special. That's what Jesus is talking about here. But he's not. He's not talking about being sent in that specific way that he feels sent, and you knew God sent him there. There's some of you that God has spoken to send you to particular places or to do particular things, but not all of you, because that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is saying to his disciples, and so I send you. There were some of the people that were in that room that night that we never hear of again. I mean, the speculation sort of 100 years later, but we'd never hear of them again. They stayed in Jerusalem. They stayed in that area. What God is saying is, just as the Father sent me, not to Truro, says Jesus, not to Cornwall, not to just Great Britain, and the empire or the Commonwealth. Jesus was sent to the world. He was sent into the whole world and to affect the world. We are sent just as Jesus was sent. He's sending us. And where is he sending us? He's sending us into the world. Where's the world? He's sending us into the world. You are, if you're a disciple of he's saying, you're in it. Hear my command. Hear my call. I've sent you. I'm sending you. Wake up. Smell the tea, the coffee. Because we live in this world. This is the world that he sends us to. Now, yes, but I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not the other. Yes, and you're not this and you're not the other, but we've got another point yet to come. But you mix with people who don't know Jesus at work, in the classroom, when you walk down the street, your neighbors, and so on and so on and so on. We're in this world. Okay, we're not to be of it. We're not. We're sent into this world. You have a world. Shane, you have a world. Yes. And Charlie, you have a world. Did I get your name right? Sorry about that. Welcome this morning. It's great to have you with us. You have a world. You sell gorgeous things to all sorts of people, maybe, and you fiddle faddle with electronics, and we all do all these dips. This is the world that we're sent into, and most of us don't live in a bubble. We have neighbors. And we've been sent. Wow. Yeah, but I don't feel special. You're not. You are. How are we doing? There's another bit. And saying this, he breathed in and said to them, receive Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's a bit of a puzzler, this one. Now, I want to just jump forwards and forget I said it, but jump forwards, and Luke tells us a little bit more specifically, which fits in with this passage. And he actually said, he said to them, wait. John says it as well, but all that is in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms has got to be fulfilled. And Andrew alluded to this last week as well. But God's got a plan which he's set out to indicate that he's the God of history and he's working at history. And he uses the festivals that the Jewish have. And there's one more festival yet to come. And that's the Festival of Weeks. And that's going to take place from this point. It's going to take place in 52 days' time. That's what we celebrate as Pentecost. Because that's the time when Jesus says, wait, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. At that point, you will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes on you. And that will be the fulfillment of the Feast of Weeks. But you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. And saying this, here's the third thing that I believe God is saying to us through the pen of John as he describes what happened that night. Saying this, He breathed in and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Mums and dads, has there ever been a time when you've said to your kids or to one of your child, oh, John, you keep making so much noise. But I want you to settle down and read a book. Or maybe you've come to something and you said to your dad or your mum, said, oh, Mom, you keep moaning about me. Please, would you give me a little bit more space? Or something like that. Or when you're addressing an employee or an employer, you dumpty 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 dum, and then comes the thing that you're wanting to get to. Please do such and such. Please don't do such and such. Where's this going? I'll give you an example. Brothers and sisters in Grace Church, go for it, friends. My friends in Grace Church, live in all that God's got for us. Yes. Each one of you is special. God's got so much for you. What am I doing? Yes, that's what I'm doing. This is exactly what Jesus did. This is what Jesus did. He said, as the Father sent me, I also send you. Receive the Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. No, I think he did this. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? Actually, in your translation, the one that we had first of all, it said he breathed on them. But actually, that's not correct. That's not that. We miss it. And my apologies for that, but most translations, I think the NIV, that you use the word breathed on. But the on is not there. It's a word that has been added in by the English translators to try and make it more sense. But actually, what it is, do you like little details? Do you like it, little details? The actual word is anesthusio. Anesthusio. And the very beginning of that verb is a little pronoun. Pronoun? No, an adjective. Adverb. And it's in, not on. So he breathed in and then said. So if you try and say something to your kids or to your dad to sort him out, and you want to say dumpty 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 dum, you run out of breath halfway through. But you want to put the emphasis on the last bit. And that's exactly what Jesus. And so the last bit, the last bit actually is, it's actually, he's, the best word that I've got a couple of words written down. It's a directive, it's an exhortation, and it's an encouragement. This is what he wants to say to his disciples. I've been sent by the Father. I'm sending you. This is what you need to know. This is the encouragement that I want you to hear. It's great that you're being sent. Yes, yes, yes. But this is vital important. And he says this, as the Father sent me, I also send you. You receive the Holy Spirit. And the significance of this is, Jesus knows ahead of time that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them. But what he's saying is to the disciples then, and he says it to us, he's saying it to us as well. He's saying, get ready, guys. Get ready. You've got 50 days. Get ready. And they did. So we read in the text. We read in the text that they got ready. The fear was going from them as they were walking in that peace that we're hearing about last week. And something was rising in them, Yes, 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 he's alive, and this peace that he's talking about is real. And so they spent time together in that upper room. And by the time day of Pentecost came, was it 300 of them in that room? That they were praying together and praising God. We're ready. We're ready for what you want to do. We're ready. Yes, we've spent these last 52 days. We've been praising God, and we've been, yes, yes, God, yes, come on, come on, come on, come on. We've experienced all this about Jesus for 3 years. We've seen the incredible things. Now he's promising that he's going to baptize us. He's going to do something to us that's like what Jesus walked in. And we're going to be doing things like he did. This is amazing. Can it be? Yes, yes. We want it. We want it. We want it. Here's the thought that I want to leave with you. What Jesus was saying to them was, you need to choose to receive. He's not going to come and all over you on the day of Pentecost. He's not just going to, you've got to be prepared. And I'm encouraging you strongly, Jesus says. And that, if you like the details, that is the weight of that verb, receive. It's not an imperative. It's not a command. It's actually, if you like this sort of stuff, which is not part of our English language, but the Greek tense there is a subjunctive. And if you like the full word, it's a hortatory subjunctive. Check it out, Matt. Andrew can vindicate that. It's a plea. It's a plea. Please. It's encouraging. It's encouraging them to do it, to be involved, to choose to be a part of, getting into a position where we want it, we want it, we want it. God loves our heart. When we want to receive, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing that God deals with us. Check this out. There's nothing that God does to us that cuts across our will. God is not, it just comes to mind, this dates me a little bit, but I don't know if it's still around. There was a movie back in the day called The Godfather. Some of you might remember. Those that you remember were like old movies. And the image on the front of the whatever it is was you had this puppet and you had the strings and the Godfather. Oh, grim reality. And the implication was the Godfather pulled the strings and everybody had to jump like that. Our God does not do that. He does not force us into anything, whatever we're talking about. He does not force us to get saved and become his child. We have to cooperate because he delights in our humanity. He wants our love. He wants our adoration as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that can only be given voluntarily. So the Holy Spirit, he does not force himself on anybody. He doesn't force himself on us. But what he offers is he says, I want you to be clothed with power, all my disciples, for two reasons. And the two reasons is this. You can't live it. You can't live as a disciple of Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and us voluntarily, every day, crying out to Him, I need your power. I need your strength. I need your enabling today. We can't live this way. We can't deal with what Paul talks about, the flesh, the old man, or whatever word you like to use. The pressure to sin is in me always, until in the moment, by something that is outside of me, I choose to put it to death. Paul tells us all about that in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I can't live. We can't live this life as Christians without God's power in our life. But we have to choose. He wants us to be in the world, not of the world. He said, I'm sending you. And now's the time, guys. Time to finish, but it's time for God is doing something in this day that has never been the same before. For students, the culture that you're in, the culture that we're in, is so anti-God. It's wonderful. When I was a young Christian in my teens, my 20s, and we'd go out in the streets and try to talk to people about Jesus, what do they say? Oh, I'm a Christian. I was baptized as a child. I know all about this. And what, that was it. But now what do people say? There isn't a God. There isn't a God. Come on. That's God's opportunity. That's God's opportunity for us. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a harvest in Falmouth and Truro in these days ahead, which is not like anything before. But the marks of it, it's going to be a reality, not religion and religiousness. And it's going to be the power of God working through simple, down-to-earth, ordinary people like me and you. It's receive it. Receive it. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not an experience. He is a person. Welcome Him to do what He likes. I'd like to tell you a little bit of my story, but time's gone. I won't. It would bore you. You've heard enough from me. But can I just say this one word of testimony? I want more of Holy Spirit. I don't want more like I've got a pint of milk and I want two. I want more of His influence and effect in my life. Now, I'm a little bit older than some of you here. And I've been walking with Jesus amazingly. I'm not going to tell you how many years, but it's more than one, two, three, four, decades. And the journey has been amazing. Some really shit, you know, I don't say that, really bad ways, but some incredible ways as well. But the bad and the good actually complement, they go together. But no matter what I've experienced, there's more of God, more of His Holy Spirit for me. I want more, but I need it today. Now, what about you guys? Some of you think this is all a bit fruitcakey, and I'm not right sure what this means, but we can trust our Heavenly Father. We can trust what He wants to do in our lives. We can throw ourselves on Him and we can say, I want more of you. You know, just help me here. And if our heart is to seek Him, not the experience, then He's free to do whatever He wants, if you like. But even then, we have to choose. If you want to speak in tongues, you have to choose. He doesn't force it on you. If you want to prophesy and all those things, He doesn't force any of that on any of us. You have to choose. And if you want, you'll get. Sorry, that sounds a little bit utilitarian. I'm sorry about that. But I want more. I know that He sent me. I know that I'm special to Him. I need to know that more as the Holy Spirit witnesses that with me. And I want people to come to know Jesus. I need more of Holy Spirit. What do you think? How about you? Can the band come and it's an opportunity of responding. And that, as the band's going, oh, could we do something really silly? No. Could I do something really different? Could we all stand up? So it's only going to be brief. Don't worry. Come on, Wolfie, you can do it. If we could all just stand up. And if you feel comfortable about this, you can sit down if you like. Don't worry. If you could stand up. What I want to do, this is what I want to do. I want more. And I want to say that, not to you, but I want to say that to God. If you want more of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you want to be salt and light with the people around about you in your world, if you want more of him, well, you've got 40 days till Pentecost, but actually, Pentecost is in the past. The Holy Spirit is available. They had to wait. We don't have to wait anymore because he's come. And once he's come, it's for all time, for all disciples. If you want more of him, I want you to join in with me and say yes in a minute. If you want, you don't have to. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm not going to see anybody who's not saying yes. And I want us all to raise our voices as loud as we can. Close your eyes if you like, or open your eyes. And at the count of three, one, two, three, I'm going to shout out, yes. And I'm addressing him, expressing my heart. And if you can do that, addressing him and expressing your heart, and then we're gonna sing together. So if you want to join with me, I'm going to go for it. Maybe the microphone should be turned down or turned out because that one might be a bit offensive. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want more of your... I need your power in my life just to live this and to be what you want me to be in the world that you've put us. One, two, three. Yes! Let's sing. Let's go for it, guys.